Today's episode of the NFL Show is brought to you by State Farm. When you need a game plan for protection, State Farm agents are here to help. Personalized service, agents are available to talk in person, over text, or through the State Farm. So go with the one with coverage and agents you can count on. Find an agent in your neighborhood today. State Farm. Talk to an agent today. Welcome to the Ringer NFL Show. I'm Robert Mays, joined as always by Kevin Clark. Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Good weekend of football.
Yeah, we're going to get into a discussion that we had in the preseason about the teams that we think that could win the Super Bowl. And that list is probably shorter than it was in August, but
it is definitely not 17 teams as it was.
It is not 17 teams long. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about some teams that maybe aren't going to make that list, what it means for them, all that stuff. Before we do that, though, let's talk about what was probably the biggest NFL news story of the week. And that is the, I guess strange is the adjective I would use, kind of dialogue around this Colin Kaepernick workout that's happening in Atlanta. So maybe you can lay this out for me, and maybe you can explain this to me, because I've been trying to wrap my mind around some of the details here, and it's been difficult. So what is your take on why this is happening, what the motivations behind it are? Just kind of lay it out for me.
Well, there's a lot of leaks out there, and a lot of them are coming from the league office. And if you believe those, maybe the league wants to start the path towards Kaepernick rejoining the league. Having said that, you cannot trust anything that's happened because of all of the strange details surrounding this. They gave Kaepernick almost no notice, 5 days notice. They gave him a non-negotiable time. They said it couldn't be on a Tuesday, which is when NFL teams typically work out players. It had to be on a Saturday when a lot of GMs or scouts are out doing college football. I think that's...
Or should be.
But I do think... Listen, if you're a team, there's a lot of teams who've already said they're going to send somebody there. There's a lot of people in NFL buildings, and you know, I don't know what the attendance will look like, but I don't think it's, you know, I think it'll be, teams will be well represented there. I think that the way the NFL has handled this has been very, very strange this week. They're going to have, I saw this leak today. Do you know who's going to be running it?
No.
Joe Philbin.
Wow.
I mean, that's when you know things have gotten strange.
That's when
the NFL looked at it and said, we want Philbin. You know, I think that if you read the tea leaves, you know, the story goes that a couple of teams had asked the NFL league office what the status of Colin Kaepernick was, maybe signaling that there was some interest in bringing him in, maybe for a workout. This is not normal. This is the NFL does not arrange workouts for free agents that every team is invited to come to and then publicizes it and then tells reporters about it on 5 days notice and then doesn't give the player the opportunity to really have any say in any part of it. This is one of the strangest things I can remember when covering the league. Maybe this is to give a team a cover. Maybe there's a team or one, you know, two, three teams that says we want to bring in Kaepernick, and maybe this is sort of the first step towards that. I don't know. I don't. My conspiracy hat is not on just yet about whether this is sort of scripted or whatever. And then there's going to be teams can sign them Monday. I don't know. All I know is that if Colin Kaepernick gets back in the league is better for it because he is a dynamic player who is better than most backup quarterbacks in this league. Probably a good deal of starters if we are to go on the last time we saw Colin Kaepernick. And so if you care about the product, just the on-field product, you know, I saw Greg Roman was asked about it today. He said, you know, is Colin Kaepernick a quarterback in this league? And Greg Roman said his body of work speaks for itself, and it does. And so I think that if this gets Kaepernick back in the league, then maybe the weirdness is worth it. But this is a very, very, very weird event and a very weird week.
I feel similarly about it. I think that if it gets him back in and we end up kind of writing this wrong way too little too late, but to some degree, okay, cool. I'm glad this worked out. I'm glad they did it. But I just don't understand the process of it all. I'm mostly confused.
I don't think the NFL understands the process.
It's just, why do it this way? Why mandate that it has to be on this day? Why have it on a Saturday? All the stuff you said, it doesn't seem like the exposure is as big as it could have been if they had just scheduled it differently, if they had given more notice. If you want to take this seriously, take it seriously. And again, they don't deserve any credit whatsoever.
Nope.
But, you know, if you want to kind of, okay, good for you to finally take one step in the right direction here. But it doesn't even seem like they're taking that step with any sort of conviction. And it just feels like the NFL always screws this stuff up in ways it doesn't have to. I mean, you want some little bit of goodwill as it relates to this, but you're not doing anything close to the legwork in order to earn that goodwill. It just, there's so many things about this, it seems like it could have been avoided. And I'm just so confused about why they did it this way.
If you were going to give the NFL any credit, this had to, the expiration date on doing this is November 2017.
Yes,
when he was clearly being pushed out of the league. He did not have a team at that point after having played, obviously, with the Niners in 2016 during that season in which he knelt. And if the NFL, in the middle of the first season that he wasn't in the league, said, you know what, we got to step in and do something, that's where you give him credit. You do not let him sit out for 3 years and then say, oh, geez, I just noticed this. Let's do a workout. I mean, this is... The NFL does not come off as the good guys here, and quite frankly, there will be no scenario in which they do. If Kaepernick signs, that's terrific for Kaepernick and the team that signs him. But this is not. There will be no hero narrative for anybody from the league side for with all of this that's transpired this week.
And there shouldn't be, but it could have gone from, well, I guess that's a good idea, or I guess good for you, to what the hell are they doing? It could have been the former. But again, they just somehow step on their own feet here and don't understand how to smoothly do something that could be, even if they don't get a lot of credit for it or shouldn't get any credit for it, it's objectively a good thing if this works out, but they still can't even do that right. There's still some way for them to screw it up further by making it as convoluted as it's been.
So let's tackle one thing quickly. What if we take this at face value and there will be scouts there, there will be team executives there. Is there a team that jumps out in your mind that will, you know, the reports have been for years that Colin Kaepernick has been training every day. He'll be in shape. If he looks good in there, even if he, you know, if he looks like Colin Kaepernick in that workout, who is the team that you think, okay, they could bring him in right now?
I mean, I think that this is an easy answer because there's been a history there and we just have seen the types of moves they've been willing to make. But wouldn't the answer be Seattle?
Yeah. Well, and only they met with him, obviously. In
they were the only team to meet with him. Yes.
And so I think that, you know, bringing in Kaepernick into Seattle will be very, very intriguing to me. I wonder if, you know, I wonder if there's a team that says, listen, not just we want him to be a backup, but we want him to compete for a starting job. That's not Seattle. I'm curious if there will be a team that does that, who's just totally not set a quarterback.
The reason that I was going to say that I said Seattle and there aren't a lot of other good answers, I wrote about this today. There's so many teams unsettled at quarterback that I think it's hard to pick one. It would be something where you'd have to have your head coach, your owner, everything on the same page. It's a big decision when it comes to dealing with what's going to happen if you sign him. So that is a whole other issue. But when it comes to the quarterback side of it and possibly bringing him in for competition, I mean, we're looking at a third of the league that you could probably argue would be in that conversation. So I think it's difficult to land on one team just because there are so many candidates.
There's a lot of bad quarterbacks, and Colin Kaepernick is better than those bad quarterbacks. So
it and there's comes, a lot of unsettled quarterback situations.
For sure. And then it comes down to how a team feels about signing Colin Kaepernick. And unfortunately, we've seen for the past 3 years that there are a lot of cowards in this league. So I don't know. I am very, very, very intrigued to see what happens.
I am too. I hope it works out, obviously. It's just the entire thing has been strange the way they've handled it. And I think that's kind of my takeaway from this whole thing. If it works out, good. But I just didn't think it had to happen this way.
Yep.
All right. Let's get to our conversation here about the teams that can win the Super Bowl. Why don't we start this way? How long is your list?
Jeez. My list is about 10.
Okay. My list is 11.
Okay.
But it's tiered.
Okay.
Okay.
Mine is not tiered.
Mine is tiered. I have spaces between groups of mine. Okay. So why don't we just do the obvious ones first? All right.
Mine is actually 11. I'm sorry.
So I think we probably have the same 11 teams.
Okay. We'll say, you didn't have the Seahawks last time.
That's true.
We'll talk about this.
We'll talk about this. Well, that's bullshit, first of all. They hadn't traded for Clowney when we had that conversation. Well, second of all, I still stand by a lot of the things I said there.
You got to trust old Johnny Schneider.
I guess so. We can have that discussion, and I plan on it. Okay. Patriots number one.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Saints number two.
Okay.
I mean, just like that's yeah. Those are the two teams I listed.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I had the Niners and the Packers as well.
Okay. Me too.
Ravens.
Yes.
Chiefs.
Yes.
Okay. So those to me are the no-brainer answers.
Okay.
I think the Seahawks are next on that list.
Okay. I agree.
We can have a chat about the Seahawks in a second. I have the Cowboys after that. Mm-hmm. You have the Cowboys on your list too?
I do.
Texans?
I do.
Eagles?
Yes.
Vikings?
Yes.
So is that 10 or 11?
That's 11. Let me ask you a question. Yeah, so my list is...
So we have the same 11.
Patriots, Chiefs, Ravens, Texans, Cowboys, Eagles, 49ers, Seahawks, Packers, Vikings, Saints.
Yes.
Okay. Let's unpack this for a second.
All right.
It sounds like you have the Vikings below the Eagles and the Cowboys.
No, not really. Okay. I didn't think of them right off the bat, but they're in the same conversation to me.
Okay. So when you think about the Texans, because that's a team that I am comfortable putting them on the list, but they are definitely lower, in a lower tier than I would say any other AFC team. For the AFC, for me, it goes Patriots, at this point Ravens, then the Chiefs, and then the Texans.
I 100% agree.
Okay, what has to happen for the Texans to win the Super Bowl? Because that's the
Deshaun
whole thing.
Watson has to play out of his mind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really it. And that's not off the table. And that's why I put them in here. Because he's been so good in stretches. And I actually think back to that game against the Chiefs when they were close to full strength or something to it with Mahomes. And he just played so incredibly well. I think that's the best game I've seen him play as a pro, even if the stats don't bear that out. If he is on that level, they can beat anybody on any day. And I think that's what's going to have to happen. Because their defense... especially without Watt, and when you consider how unsettled their secondary has been, I have very little faith. But we've seen what can happen if your offense is playing at a super high level and your defense just gets hot for a couple months or month. Your defense throws four games together. I also want to ask you about this, though. When you were building your list, when you're thinking about this, are you considering how hard it is right now for teams that don't get the bye to win? Do you think in reality that it's only the teams that could possibly get a first-round bye that are even in this conversation? Or do you think one of these teams could possibly put a run together if they get in the wild card?
No, we had that run at the beginning of this decade where teams that were on the road started to win quite a bit.
Giants, Ravens.
Yeah, Packers. And, you know, one of the things that was interesting to me last year was there had been, I think, something like 8 straight playoff games for the home team had won. And then I made my picks. And based on that home team by these sort of teams, things. And then it almost reversed itself where, you know, the wild card started to gain a little momentum last year. And so these things are kind of true until they're not. The reason that the bye teams get to the Super Bowl more often than not is not necessarily because they have the bye, but because the best teams have the bye. You know, it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. So I think that...
I'm curious how much that's true. Or how much playing that one fewer game actually has a huge impact. I don't know.
There's no way you can just... We can't, as an experiment, give the 6th seed a bye just to find out, right?
So, let's just do it 1 year. Just do it one year.
And so I think that it's really hard to say that, okay, a team has to have a bye to get to the Super Bowl because the Patriots are going to get a bye because the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl, right? Like, if they had to play a wild card game, I think they would still go to the Super Bowl. There's not much... in the way of that, okay? So I think with a team like the Texans, and I want to go on a mini rant here. So I've been joking around about the Texans front office and their clowny trade, right? And I had a lot of Texans fans who were trying to defend the clowny trade to me and said that the Texans won the clowny trade because Clowny doesn't try some games. I serious. Look at my mentions. It's unbelievable.
He wasn't trying on Monday night.
But it's like, okay, fine, dude. Like, okay, fine. Maybe he doesn't give 100% effort every single game. But is having Jadeveon Clowney better than not having him?
For the third round pick and play and paying half
a salary? Barkevious Mingo? Like, what would you rather have? Like, I think some fans just talk themselves into these things. And so, okay, the Texans are good without Jadeveon Clowney. That doesn't mean they're good because they got rid of Jadeveon Clowney. They screwed this up. They traded him after the franchise tag deadline. I mean, there were a million little tiny missteps along the way.
It was malpractice.
It was really bad team building. And so they screwed it up, and there's no way you can say oh, it's totally fine that the Texans don't want to. Someone was like, well, their run defense has gotten better, and that's all Jadeveon Clowney is good for. There were like 20 people who said that. And I was just,
run defense is all about devoting resources to the run.
It's also just, it's also just watch games. Just watch games and watch Jadeveon Clowney. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think the Texans, more than any other team, probably in this list of 11, must rely on one individual to just play out of his mind. And that's what you talked about with Watson. I think there's every other team on this list maybe has two or three paths to being a Super Bowl champion. And the Texans, in my mind, only have one, and that's Deshaun Watson putting the team on his back. And that's a little bit a shot at the team building of it all. But it's also just Deshaun Watson's really special and, you know, whatever. By the way,
I think that in a way, it's not the same because there's more talent in other areas of these teams, I want to say. But I also think that the Cowboys, Seahawks, and Chiefs are some sort of parallel to that. It's like a corollary to that theory about Watson, because I do think their offenses and their quarterbacks are disproportionately the most important part of their equation to win.
Agree.
Compared to these other teams.
I don't think either of those teams are going to win the Super Bowl. I think they can win the Super Bowl.
Yes. That's probably what I would
say. I mean, that's
what
this exercise is that I think that the Chiefs and the Texans, if I was making my list here, I don't think we have to have them on the list because they literally can win the Super Bowl because they have an elite quarterback and that's the most important thing in the sport. But I don't necessarily, it would legitimately surprise me if either of these teams made the Super Bowl.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Right now, just by the virtue of how good they are, not schedule by whatever, do you think the Niners or the Seahawks have a better chance to win the Super Bowl?
I think the Seahawks do.
I'm kind of with you. So what makes you say that?
They have a better quarterback.
I think that's probably that. Yeah. I think it boils down to that to a certain degree. With the Niners, you know, their defense was transcendent over the first half of the season. We have so much evidence that says the opponents you play are a huge indicator of how good your defense is going to be. I mean, it's how it is, and that's fine. The offenses they're playing are going to get much better. I still think that defense is great. I think they have a lot of talent. I think they're extremely well coached. I think they're going to come back to earth a little bit. Can the offense pick up that slack? I don't know the answer to that. Jimmy Garoppolo is not as bad as he was on Monday night. He's not as good as he was against the Cardinals. He's somewhere in the middle of that. I have a ton of faith in Kyle Shanahan. We'll see what this team looks like with Emmanuel Sanders and George Kittle. That being said, with Russell Wilson playing as good as he is, and some of these other elements kind of falling into place for Seattle, I think that they could be dangerous. I also think the Seahawks aren't as good as their record indicates. They've won a ton of close games. They're a Greg Zuerlein and whoever that backup kicker for the Niners is, miss field goal away from being, what, 6-4?
Yep.
We're inches away from that happening. They've gotten by on the skin of their teeth. The in-game decision-making by that coaching staff is so consistently terrible, I can't even describe it. They hold back how well Russell Wilson is playing. That being said, I think the defense is getting better. Mm-hmm. And I think if the defense can continue to improve, if Clowney plays like this, they are folding in Quandre Diggs, who's been really nice for them. They just got Reed back. If the defense can get better and kind of offset whatever that close game luck is that they had over the first half of the season, maybe this team can sustain. So I think they're in the conversation with some of these elite teams, even though they're not as good as some of these elite teams when it comes to roster talent.
I'm with you. I'm with you right there. I think that Russell Wilson is, I think you use the word transcendent, and I would say that that's correct. Again, I don't think it's a Deshaun Watson situation where he just has to put the team on his back, but he has to make some of the throws that we've seen him make consistently for the past, you know, seven seasons.
Deshaun Watson has more help on offense than Russell Wilson does.
No, I agree.
A lot more help.
But I think that...
not a lot more. Lockett's
well,
amazing.
DeAndre Hopkins is...
Yeah, I guess it's kind of similar. I guess if you're looking at it, you look at Lockett, Hopkins as just the sure ones. Mm-hmm. What Metcalf and Fuller give is actually kind of similar. Carson's a nice player. I think the Texans line is actually playing better than the Seahawks line to a certain degree. But it's probably more comparable than I would give it credit for.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that we're still... I think these teams... One of the things about football in 2019, it's been true this entire decade, is that there are certain teams that are getting really good or have been really good at just peaking at the right time. And that's after Thanksgiving, basically. And so when we talk about what the Seahawks will look like come playoff time, or what the Texans look like come playoff time, I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that Pete Carroll has, you know, a handful of times this decade figured out how to make his team better as the season goes along. And that's why they end up in the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, you know, so much. And so I think that, or, you know, in the playoffs. Last year, we were, I think that we did not expect the Seahawks to be the trendy wild card pick going, you know, they lost in Dallas, but they were a trendy wild card pick because of how well they were playing as the season went along. And so I think that the ability to make your team a December football team, that doesn't mean running the ball or whatever the hell it used to mean 10, 15 years ago, but the idea of just getting better every single week in a league where that's really hard to do because of practice time and all this stuff and injuries, that is a science. And Pete Carroll seems to have that. And so I always default to the Seahawks getting better as the season goes along.
Yeah, and I think that's what I mean with their defense. You can kind of see the pieces starting to fit a little bit. They brought in a couple of new guys this year. I mean, if that comes together and you have Wilson playing this well, who knows what they could do. One last thing before we move on here. How quickly did you put the Cowboys on your list?
I mean, I kind of have them in the Eagle zone where I put them on because I've seen them. I've seen what they look at their, how they look at their best.
That was exactly my thought.
Yeah, and I just, that team, if everything breaks right, can win the Super Bowl. That team, if everything, if a few things break wrong, can lose in the first round. That's true of the Eagles and the Cowboys. So I don't think that there's necessarily, I don't think I have a ton of confidence in them. I have more confidence in the Texans winning the Super Bowl at this point than the Cowboys, just because of the game the Cowboys have played, you know, last week and a couple of times this year. But I still think I know what Dak Prescott looks like when he's good, which is almost all the time now. I know what Amari Cooper looks like when he's good. And if those things come together and Jason Garrett stops being Jason Garrett, then, you know, and also, hey, you have to leave open the possibility that they fire somebody. They fire Jason Garrett midseason and then they get a competent coach. That was a joke.
There's no way that's going to happen.
That was a joke.
I was thinking about that today.
That was a joke.
Maybe. No, what would happen?
It will never happen.
To go down? It never would.
It will never happen.
Absolutely nothing.
And now it's time for the State Farm Safe Bet of the Week, the player you can count on. When you need a game plan for protection, State Farm agents are here to help. With personalized service, agents are available to talk in person, over text, or through the State Farm app. So go with the one with coverage and agents you can count on. Find an agent in your neighborhood today. Robert, we want to talk about a guy who at this point is the runaway Rookie of the Year contender, Oakland's Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I think that Kyler Murray is making a case week in and week out just by how well he's playing. But the sheer production and the success of the Raiders, it's just hard to argue with Josh Jacobs right now. And he is playing against a team that absolutely loves to give up a ton of yards on the ground. The Cincinnati Bengals have allowed at least 200 rushing yards in four of their games this season. They gave up 175 against the Bills. And now they play against one of the most efficient, productive, scariest run games in the entire league.
Yeah, the Bengals gave up the run of the season last week against Lamar Jackson. Josh Jacobs is, according to Pro Football Focus, averaging 0.27 missed tackles per rushing attempt. So he forces a missed tackle one every four times he runs the ball. That is first in the NFL. If you're already a team that has trouble tackling like the Bengals, this is a matchup that you do not want to see.
He's number one in the league in PFF's elusiveness rating. It's not even close when it comes to players at least 50% of their team's carries. If you look at the Bengals linebackers right now, do you have any idea who they are? Could you name two of them?
No, I could not.
So there's Nick Vigil, who is still spinning around looking for Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
That's what he's doing right
now
at this
very
moment.
Of him, so that's progress.
Sure. That's it, though. Outside of that, our guys we're talking about here are Brandon Wilson, who's kind of a safety hybrid. Leroy Reynolds, who's played 40 snaps this year. I believe he might be hurt. Jordan Evans and Jermaine Pratt. It's impossible to overstate how bad this Bengals roster is. There are no good players.
State Farm, talk to an agent today.
All right, let's get to this week's Take Shop. I'm going to start us off. I'm going to go back to the Quandre Diggs, Jevin Clowney kind of conversation here, because I was rewatching that game today. And I was watching Clowney, and then Diggs made a couple plays. And this is very half-baked. I mean, this is just starting to kind of knead the dough here with the Take Shop. I feel like in the league, it wouldn't be a terrible idea. Maybe it would be. But this is this is the point of the segment. If we had some sort of committee, and the reason I was thinking about this was the players' reaction in Detroit to Quandre Diggs getting traded, and just the universal mutiny that they were trying to orchestrate based on that trade. Maybe there should be a committee of players, executives, whatever. Maybe 8 guys. Every time there's a trade, the league goes to those 8 guys. I'm like, all right, should this be allowed? Even in a fantasy league, I don't think this is a good idea. I once orchestrated a trade while one of my friends was very drunk at a concert. And I think with any sort of adults, you should be able to make transactions however you'd like with your team. But I don't give the NFL, I don't give executives in the NFL the same level of respect that I give my drunk friends, apparently. Because I do think there should be some checks and balances in order to not let stuff like this happen.
I get what you're saying. You're basically arguing for a VP of common sense.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I get
it's
what you're saying.
It's a committee of common sense.
But I think that unfortunately teams and this panel, like this panel would have like Bill Polian, Tony Dungy. Who else would be on this panel?
I don't know. I haven't thought about the members
of the
panel.
We could give Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis could do it. It would be like almost like what the competition committee used to be, right? It would be like if you're out of football and you were on the competition committee. The problem is that football people view things so differently than, I don't know, the media or who fans, whomever. Like the Jadeveon Clowney thing might be seen as addition by subtraction, or might be seen as a, you know, a heady salary dump, whatever.
And you know what? That's fine. If that is the conclusion that the committee comes to, then I'm willing to respect the ruling of the committee. But I still think that that conversation should take place. This stuff should not be allowed. The Seahawks shouldn't have Jadeveon Clowney. This is the motivation for my entire bit of anger here.
Your take shop is basically that the NFL should step in and rescind the trade.
Yes, let's do it right now. It should not
be allowed.
To send
him back?
He's too good to be for them to pay half his salary.
I don't know if that's
true. Round pick.
It should
not be allowed.
I don't think we should change the rules because Jadeveon Clowney is on the Seahawks.
They
changed the rules when Penny and Shaq went to the Magic in back-to-back years.
There you go. So
but this
sometimes
is not Penny,
this needs to happen.
Penny and Shaq were
better. I think
Jadeveon
Clowney is as good as any player for the Atlanta Magic has ever been.
That I just, what are you trying to do? What direction are you trying to take this podcast in? Because it's about to get very ugly.
I've never been able to dig you about anything. You get me every single show about the Bears, so I just had to take one shot. It's not my fault.
I'm going to storm out of this room. Let me do my take shot.
All right.
Before we delve into some very serious territory here.
I'm sorry. That wasn't nice. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
The
right, go ahead.
Yeah. Ever heard of Bo Outlaw?
I have all heard right. of Bo Outlaw.
Mark Maskey, The Washington Post, reports there's a new collective bargaining agreement within striking range, and that includes, likely, a 17-game regular season. Okay? It goes on to say the agreement would scale back the preseason and could come with an expansion of the playoffs from 12 to 14 teams. This is something that Roger Goodell has talked about in the past. Okay? I don't think this is an awful idea if the players get massive returns. And I'm not just talking about more money, because obviously there'd be more money if there's 17 games. I'm talking about something that would change the nature of player movement. Maybe the sticking point for 17 games should be getting rid of the franchise tag, because it's just such a problem to play one more football game. Is this already a vicious sport? 16 games is fine. If you're going to give them 17 games, the players are going to need a lot. I think that there's probably a case to be made that you expand the rosters from 53 to 60, or maybe you just get rid of inactives. I'm not sure what you do. But what I'm saying is that I think you can add a 17th game, but I think the players are going to need significantly more than what they got in the last CBA if they're going to do that. Because it is That is brutal, man. So you're basically looking at every team playing a 17th game. Then if you expand the playoffs, more teams playing an extra game in the playoffs. So I don't know, man. That's tough for me.
I don't think you can do it without a second bye. The people that I've talked to, I've talked to players about it, and just out of curiosity, I mean, just not a lot, but a couple, just, you know, kind of bringing up, what do you think about this? And it seems like the idea of a second bye they're amenable to. The 17 games without one, I think, would be a difficult sell. The franchise tag part of it, I feel like the franchise tag is further down the priority list for the NFLPA than other people.
Without
do.
A doubt, because their reasoning and it affects three people. Yeah, it affects very, very, very few people. Having said that, I think that while that is correct, I think that there's another part of that, which is the franchise tag depresses salaries at the top end, and then the sort of middle class of players sets the agenda on how much players should be paid, because a player like Aaron Rodgers almost by definition takes less because he you know, when he signed that deal, he was essentially 2-3 possibly more years away from free agency because he can tag a guy 3 times. So they just don't have a lot of leverage. If NFL players got leverage in true free agent negotiations, those players would get a lot more. And I think that the market for veterans would look different. I agree that the franchise tag is lower down the priority list, but I think that the franchise tag depresses superstar salaries in a way I don't think we talk about enough.
No, and superstar salaries may be affecting the rest of the league.
That's what I'm
talking
about.
Maybe there's a domino effect. Yeah, and I can see that. I think there's probably wider ranging effects than just 3 or 4 players. I still think that they should try to fight a different battle here if they're going to have to play 17 games, whether it's a bigger chunk of the pie or something with, you know, certain levels of guaranteed contracts. There are other things that I'd fight for. I think that the bar is extremely high to get 17 games without a second bye, though. I'm not sure there's anything on the table realistically that would make that worth it for players if they don't get 2 bye weeks.
Yeah, I agree, but it looks like we're, according to the Washington Post, pretty close to it.
That's terrible. Whatever. Good, good. Player safety is super important. That's what I've been told for a long while here.
Yep.
Before we move on, let's take a quick break. Pepsi takes all NFL celebrations to the next level. Whether it's a Hail Mary touchdown, a defensive stop on the goal line, or a Super Bowl win. When it's time to celebrate, it's time to crack open a Pepsi. When I was growing up, I had a group of 3 best friends. And we would always go to my buddy's house. And our spot was upstairs. And right next to this massive TV, right when those big, huge plasma TVs came out, was a fridge. And it was always full of Pepsi. That's it. That was the only thing in there was Pepsi. And I associate that taste, that can, with so many sports moments from my childhood. I remember being over there the night that Kobe scored 81 points. I was there the night of the butt fumble. I was there for countless Super Bowls. For whatever reason, there are just all these fun, celebratory, childhood exuberance type of moments that I associate with Pepsi and with being with my friends gathered around that TV. And that's what Pepsi is. Pepsi is a sign of celebration. It's also the official sponsor of the NFL. And Pepsi reminds you to always be celebrating.
This time of year, the weather starts to play a major factor, especially in the passing game. So I always like to see what the forecast is going to be, the big matchups. Thankfully, the Google Assistant is here to help. Hey Google, what will the weather be like in Washington, D.C. this Sunday at 10 a.m.?
Sunday in Washington, it'll be cloudy with a high of 44 and a low of 38.
The Google Assistant is ready to help you get more done with just your voice in the car, at home, and everywhere you take your phone. A little help, hands-free. Just say, hey Google, to get started.
Let's get to the biggest 3 games of the week. Let's start with the Patriots at the Eagles. The Eagles, who are kind of coming along a bit, man, but also getting Bill Belichick off a bye. What are you looking for in this one?
I saw the stat, Ben Volen, today. Do you know what the passer rating against the Patriots defense is when a quarterback throws over 20 yards?
3.
13. You're off by 10.
Close.
It's unbelievable. So there's a couple of things I want to unpack. First of all, did you see Jamie Collins doing a backflip in practice?
Yes, I did. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous. That guy's making $1 million against the cap this
year. I love it. I love Bill Belichick getting a high pick, letting the Browns pay $27 million to Jamie Collins and then getting him back for no money. And now he looks like a defensive player of the year candidate. That is just...
It might be his biggest coup ever, because we can talk about the Chung thing, whatever. Who else has come back? I was thinking about this the other day. All right, who else has returned to the team after leaving and then given them something after he came back?
Yeah.
Is it just Chung? Is that the only modern
example?
No, I'm
sure there's more. I'm sure there's more.
I was trying
more.
To think of others the other day, and I was picking, like, really racking my
brain. I mean, the thing about Belichick is he gets these guys in the cheap and typically doesn't let them go. Guys like Rob Ninkovich, Kyle Van Noy, those guys are not going to leave and come back. He's just going to, you know, pay them $2 million a year for them to do their job. So
I mean, he's been getting the lower level assets that were undervalued by their previous team forever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's happened. I guess Deion Branch came back. That's another one. Yeah, he had a decent season when he
wasn't
came
as
back
good
in
as Jamie Collins.
Yeah,
so.
He was not nearly as good. This is definitely the best one he's ever pulled off.
For sure. What am I looking for? Well, I think it's gonna be different than the Super Bowl. I don't think that the Eagles are gonna put up 51 points on them.
I don't think the Patriots are gonna put up 40 some either.
So I don't know. I'm intrigued to see, and this has been something I've said for the entire season. I like seeing the Patriots defense go against really good quarterbacks because I think that there's been a lack of that. I think the Patriots defense is, you know, right there with the Niners is one of the best, not only of this season, but of this decade. If you just look statistically at where they rank among some of these other, you know, in the modern era where defenses have quote unquote capitulated, according to Ron Rivera, to offenses, those defenses are bucking the trend. I get really excited to see a quarterback like Carson Wentz go against the Patriots defense. What in particular do you think is going on with Wentz right now? Where you think there's any case to be made the Eagles win this game?
I feel like there's a case to be made that they win this game. I think it's honestly by limiting Carson Wentz.
Okay.
I think Carson Wentz has played decently well this year. I just think that their receiving core has been such a problem, and they are so outmanned against this Patriots team.
Yep.
And they are outclassed every single individual matchup when it comes to that secondary against this receiving core. But the Patriots' run defense has not been nearly as sound as their pass defense, and that's where the Eagles have thrived in the last couple weeks. They've really been able to push some teams around when it comes to the Bills, the Bears. I love the way they're running the ball right now. And I think that if you look at their skill position players, them using Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders in packages together is one of the coolest things they can do right now. Brandon Brooks is playing at an unbelievable level coming off of an Achilles.
Yep.
So I'm getting behind the right side of that line, and I am running the ball until the Patriots stop me. Because right now, I don't have faith in my guys to create any sort of separation against that defense.
I saw a point from Elliott Shore Parks that I've been thinking about. You know, this is a really big game for Howie Roseman's young draft picks. You know, the point Elliott made was they need Miles Sanders because Jordan Howard is hurt. Dallas Goedert will be important with Ertz being the focal point of the New England defense, and Avante Maddox against Julian Edelman. I mean, I think that we sat around and talked about the roster depth of the Eagles for July, August, September, and we stopped talking about that once we realized they didn't have the depth we thought. And also, listen, they have injuries, whether that's Malik Jackson or whomever. But this is the type of game where we find out how good the roster really is, whether or not it was ever as good as we thought it was on paper. So I'm really intrigued to see the little matchups within the matchups on Sunday.
I'll be curious to see what happens with the Patriots offensive line against this Eagles defensive line. They have struggled to run the ball as of late. I also think that right now, the Patriots' tackles are struggling a little bit in pass protection. Obviously, you have your Newhouse on the left side. And for the most part, what the Eagles have done with Graham and Cox this year is use them inside. So I'm going to be watching that. I would like to see how they end up using Brandon Graham in this game. Are they going to try to use him more over Thuney, or are they going to try to move him outside a little bit to push the pocket that way, because that's where the Patriots are weakest right now? So the way they use their best players against a struggling New England front, I think, is something I'll be paying attention to.
Tom Brady revenge game against Brandon Graham?
He said today that he still thinks about it, or sometime this week, that it still bothers him, that loss, which I can understand.
Oh, yeah. No, I think one of the things about Tom Brady is that he is motivated by those things, I think, far more than we know.
Yeah, those people are crazy. I mean, there is that weird delusional aspect to people like him and Michael Jordan and all of them. It's a way of looking at the world that I can never really fully understand. Why don't we all just get along? All right, let's get to our next one here. Texans at Ravens. Oh boy, this is fun. I cannot wait to watch Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson play against each other.
Wow. You know, it was funny. Aaron Reese, I don't know if you saw this. He and Jets Rebic from Baltimore.
My boy.
Which one?
Aaron Reese.
Well, Jeff and Aaron are my boys. Everybody's
Aaron's
my
a good
boy.
Friend of mine. Aaron's a Mizzou guy.
Everybody's my, I have many boys. All right. So they did an oral history of the time Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson played at Clemson, put up over 1,000 yards of offense. I think it's funny the way the college game is developing, where you can just, and it was a great oral history, but there are so many of these matchups now. Like every week, it was like these guys played in college and there was 1,000 yards of offense. It's so
good. It was Baker, Mahomes, well, yeah,
Mahomes,
last year.
Mahomes and Baker last year were like that. It's just very, very funny to me. You know who else had a shootout? It's Deshaun Watson and Nathan Peterman.
Obviously, the great matchup in NFL, in college football history.
Nathan Peterman beat Clemson.
I know. That was the game where essentially a lot of the option stuff and jet sweep stuff that the Chiefs started using was born. They were watching that game at the team hotel.
That's something where if I was Deshaun Watson, I would think about that all the time to get pissed off. He threw for 580 yards in that game. And he lost to Nathan Peterman.
You just can't beat Matt Canada, man. Matt Canada, who's currently unemployed. Football's weird.
All right, so I'm really excited about this game. This is, I think that, you know, Trubisky and Goff being in primetime angers me quite a bit. I understand you can't just put Lamar in primetime all the time, but I also think that
don't want to watch Trubisky in primetime.
I don't, nobody does. And so I think that there's, I don't know. If I were the NFL, I'd find a way to flex this game into primetime. We need more emergency measures when we have Goff and Trubisky in primetime.
That's fine with me. I'm fine putting those in place. They should exist.
Who do you got in this one?
It's tough for me to say. I want to see what Watson does against this blitz-happy Ravens defense. He's been much better against the blitz, and this offense has been much better against the blitz in recent weeks and this season than they have been in the past. But this is a new kind of test. I mean, the Ravens are bringing heat about 50% of the time, and I don't expect that to change against this team. I think they're going to test them. So how does Watson work as Hotz? If they don't blitz, can they even possibly get after the quarterback? You know, we know the Texans' offensive line is better. They're still not great. So a Ravens defense that really doesn't have a lot of juice in their pass rush, how do they get after him? And what does the Ravens secondary look like? Because they've been awesome since they traded for Marcus Peters. I wrote about this a little bit last week. The Peters trade is so genius because when you know your offense is going to be great, and I think that that's – the Ravens probably feel pretty good about that at this point. When you know you're going to be great on offense, you need plays on defense if your defense is imperfect. And that's what they do. That's what the Ravens do now with Peters. He has two touchdowns. He's a risk taker. They're letting him play sticky man-to-man coverage. I just love the way that there's kind of a marriage between his skill set and the way they're using him. So how all of that happens on that side of the ball, that's what I'm most interested in. And then Lamar Jackson's on the other side of the ball. So endlessly entertaining, this game.
I saw an amazing stat this week from at Paul Hembo. It had it. There are two instances in which the NFL MVP has been younger than the Heisman Trophy winner. Okay. 2000, Marshall Faulk was 27. Chris Winkie was 28.
That's great.
Which is just phenomenal.
That one shouldn't count. That one's
well,
cheap.
It does count. Scoreboard. Chris Winkie.
I'm not saying Chris Winkie's Heisman shouldn't count. I'm saying that shouldn't count as an older Heisman winner.
I actually am saying that. 1957. Jim Brown was 21. John David Crow was 22. And this obviously goes without saying, but Lamar Jackson is younger than Joe Burrow. So that is in play if Lamar Jackson continues this and wins the MVP.
It's amazing.
How much
do you think that matters when it comes to quarterback age? Or do you think it matters how long you have that guy cost control?
No, I was asked this question.
You tweeted it the other day.
Yeah, I was asked this question about why this matters. And I don't think it matters. Like, it doesn't mean that, you know, Bill talks about this a lot with, like, high school, you know, the Kevin Garnett era, right? Like, does that mean they get more years or does that mean they age more quickly because they were playing in the NBA, you know, at 19 instead of 22, right? And from my perspective, I don't know the answer to that except to say it's freaking impressive what Lamar Jackson is doing. Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, it doesn't mean anything from a football perspective except that He was born in 1997 and he's dominating the NFL. Like that's impressive. So I'm not saying that Joe Burrow is a bust. I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson is the greatest quarterback of all time and will do so because he will do so for the next 15 years because he came into the league early. All I'm saying is Lamar Jackson was born in 1997 and he rules. That's impressive.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with.
Like what were you doing? What were you doing at 21, 22?
Oh God, I don't even want to talk about it.
No. Nor do I. I don't want to talk about what you were doing at 21 either.
No one wants to know. All right, let's get to that wonderful primetime matchup between the Bears and the Rams.
Oh my God.
You are the one that wanted to talk about this
game. That's because there was nothing at like Stafford's not playing, so we can't do Stafford versus Dak.
You are the one that wanted to talk about this game.
I wanted to talk about it for one very specific reason.
Okay.
First of all, I already brought it up. This game should be flexed off the planet and not even to, like, it should be flexed off of television. They shouldn't even move it to the early window.
I am so terrified about what Aaron Donald is going to do to the Bears offensive line.
All right. I want to.
It's keeping me up at night.
Okay. But you, I have some good news is that Jared Goff is not very good. Lindsay Theory had this. Jared Goff led the NFL in 2018 with 15 pass touchdowns off play action. Goff has yet to throw a play action touchdown this season, despite recording the second most play action attempts in the league, 94. There are 36 quarterbacks with a play action pass touchdown this season. This is why I wanted to talk about this. If Jared Goff cannot throw a touchdown off of Sean McVay's play action concepts, they were canceling, we're doing a full and total shutdown of Jared Goff.
It's just, it speaks to how broken the offense is and just how out of sorts they look right now. I wrote about the Rams on Monday, and I went back and I watched that game on Monday morning against the Steelers. And they were just, the Steelers were so in tune with everything they wanted to do offensively. I mean, some of that is the Steelers just having really good players. Minkah Fitzpatrick made a great play on a third down throw to Cooper Kupp down near the red zone. Their red screen so quickly a couple times, just snuffed it out right as it started. But it just feels like all of the tricks and all of the little wrinkles that McVay has gone to so often, teams have really started to dial into them. And I'm just wondering what's next. You know, they've tried to do some different stuff with formations, everything else, with personnel packages, but I just don't know how much this has evolved. And when you look at the stagnation of the scheme and some crumbling of the personnel when it comes to that offensive line, it's really a recipe for disaster. I still think the Rams win this game because I just don't understand how the Bears are going to move the ball against them. Mm-hmm. You know, Trubisky was better last week against a man-heavy team. And I think Trubisky and Nagy were both more comfortable, understanding they were going to get a lot of man and kind of dialing stuff up that played off that. I don't think you're going to get that from the Rams. I think they're going to play a lot of zone. I think they're going to confuse the hell out of them. And I think that their defensive personnel is so much better than what the Bears have right now.
Are we expecting an Eagles 2017-style invasion of Los Angeles by Bears fans? Or are they just not that excited about this team?
I don't think they're that excited about this team. There will be a lot there, I assume, but I don't think it's going to be overwhelming.
There may never, ever again be something like that Eagles weekend. Like, if you don't live in Los Angeles or you're not an Eagles fan, you don't understand it. Eagles fans were so excited about that team. It was November, and the entire city of Philadelphia just came to Los Angeles and was like, we're just going to hang out at Santa Monica Pier for 48 straight hours. It was unbelievable. It was like the World Cup came to town if the World Cup was just Eagles fans.
I talked to Dave House about that game. He was there, the musician, and he was with his brother. And that game happened, and him and his brother Tim were just so bummed out. And then they were walking back to the parking lot, and he told Tim, and Tim confirmed this to me. He's like, "We're still going to win the Super Bowl with Nick Foles." He's so proud of that story, and I was like, "Good for you, buddy. It's a great moment." I'm happy for that 17 season and all Eagles fans, but you know, it's this year has been a little rough.
I wrote a column off that game that I really liked, but I can never. I can never reshare it because in like the sixth paragraph, I make fun of how bad the Eagles are going to be with Nick Foles, and which ended up being true for like 3 weeks. They were awful. Remember that
Raiders game was unwatchable. Yeah. The Raiders game was unwatchable.
And so, like, whenever I'm thinking about like columns, I'm probably like, oh man, that Wentz injury column was awesome. Oh wait, I'm sorry, I have to burn that from the records. It never happened. Okay, sneaky truths.
No, we don't have time.
Oh, we don't? Okay.
No, it's canceled. Sneaky Truth and Geeks Out are canceled. We're canceled. We went too long on our Super Bowl teams.
Okay. The sneaky truth is that the 2017 Eagles were fun.
That's true. My Geeks Out was just going to be watch Chandler Jones this weekend. He's just been awesome. Super underrated. He does a lot of cool stuff as a pass rusher. If you're watching that Cardinals-Niners game, which I think will be entertaining, watch Chandler Jones for like 5 snaps.
My actual sneaky truth was that we all kind of thought that Jamal Adams was making a stretch when he said that he was on the Aaron Donald level, and I think that he might actually be getting there.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I would love to see just unleashed on the right team. What's happening?
Are you saying the Jets are not the right team? I actually kind of like, to be honest with you, he's such a playmaker that I actually kind of like that he's on just a dog shit team. Because he
just do whatever he wants.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm just going to go take the ball from Daniel Jones. We'll just see how that goes.
That actually is not a bad argument. Did you see this week? Adam Gase. Job is secure. Yeah.
He's back.
Job is secure. Not just this season, but for next. We get to run it back, baby. I'm so excited. All right. Steelers at Browns Thursday night. Do you have any thoughts about this game?
I don't know. I wish I could believe in the Browns.
That's exactly how I feel. I just can't. And this is one of those games where it's like, maybe they can win. Maybe they can start putting some stuff together. Yeah. No. They should have blown out the Bills last week. I mean, they should have 12 more points than they did with those goal line sequences that were just awful. But I think the Steelers defense is playing super well right now.
Yeah. Minka Fitzpatrick just taking the ball from
and that
Baker
front,
Mayfield.
Man. Like, TJ Watt has just been awesome this year. Hayward's always great. And they are so dialed in right now. And I just think that the Browns offense still isn't playing very well.
Yep.
All right. Are you taking the Browns or the Steelers tonight?
I'm taking the Steelers.
All right. Sounds good. All right. That's all we got, guys. As always, thank you so much for listening to the Ringer NFL show on the Ringer Podcast Network. We'll be back on Sunday night. Pepsi takes all NFL celebrations to the next level, whether it's a Hail Mary touchdown, a defensive stop on the goal line, or a Super Bowl win. When it's time to celebrate, it's time to crack open a Pepsi. I can't even tell you guys how many times I've been drinking a Pepsi, eating JJ Twiggs pizza from Wakanda, Illinois, for anyone who knows what that is. It's just such a perfect combination. Pizza, Pepsi, friends, sports. It reminds me of being a kid. It reminds me of celebrating. It reminds me of everything I love about taking in a great game. Pepsi, the official sponsor of the NFL, reminds you to always be celebrating.